Hi there. I'm Jeff Browning, and welcome to Benders of the Arc podcast, where we interview movers and shakers for social change. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. But does it bend by itself, like a naturally occurring rainbow coming to Earth? Or does it bend when people and social movements grab hold of that arc and bend it toward justice? We will explore this and many other questions in this series, and we invite you to join us on this adventure and exploration of social change. My guest this week for the Benders of the Arc podcast is Maria Marroquin, Executive Director of the Day Worker Center in Mountain View. I wanted to speak with Maria because the Day Worker Center provides a vital service to low-wage workers, many of them recent immigrants, who are struggling to survive in the midst of Silicon Valley's wealth and power. Few of us will forget how Donald Trump announced his run for president with a tirade against Mexicans.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Since Trump became president, there has been a dramatic and alarming increase in hate crimes throughout our country. There have been increased attacks against Muslims and their places of worship, against Jews and the despicable attack on worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018. While there have been increases across the board, hate crimes against Latinos rose 51% between 2016 and 2018. Then in August of this year, a white nationalist went on a shooting rampage in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, killing 21 people, mostly Latinos. Places like the Day Worker Center are on the front lines of resistance to the xenophobia and racism that has become part of the rhetoric and policy of this administration. So with that context, I want to welcome Maria Marroquin and begin by asking, tell us what the Day Worker Center is.
Well, this is a nonprofit organization who actually we are in our 23rd anniversary, so we are old enough. And it's a place when the workers and employers connect with each other. So we provide services for the workers, like direct services, but also opportunity to do leadership, practice their leadership, and empower them in several ways. We provide training, like a job training, referrals, all the type of Know Your Rights presentations, nutrition, all the skills that people need to kind of go through the system when they arrive to this country, or even people who was born and raised here in California, but still everybody has something else to learn. And this is a great community where we participate in different activities. For example, we have everyday English as second language classes. So then even people who is only English speaker, they are welcome to participate in the class, just to have this kind of a feeling, like how people struggle just to speak other language. Mm-hmm. And then they can't share what they like to do, where they are from. It's really interesting environment when we strongly believe everybody has something to teach and everybody has something to learn. Mm-hmm. So it's in a nutshell, probably could be the description of this community center, mostly the day labor center. But the main goal is, so the core part of our mission is job placement.
Mm-hmm. So why was it necessary for the Day Worker Center to come into being to begin with? I mean, I know that we have seen, day workers who are in on corners of our communities or at Home Depot or places like that. Why did you feel that it was necessary for them to actually have a place where they could
Well, through our history, so as you said, people has been waiting for work on the street, and that brings some issues, some tension between neighbors, employers, traffic, danger, things like people complains and don't like. Workers waiting on the street for work. For safety reasons, definitely, because it's both ways. Employers don't know the people who they are going to be hired. The workers have not employers, and many times, unfortunately, has been abused in both ways. Through my experience with this type of organization, so we faced a lot of abuses. Employers who promise to the workers, just I'm going to pay you tomorrow, and then that tomorrow never comes. Mm-hmm. So this type of was when the members of the community, elected officials, day laborers, of course, community of faith, so come together and trying to find a solution to this issue, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then the idea to create an organization where can bring together workers and employers and all the services that are needed in one place is when the Day Worker Center come just to start to exist. And that happened in 1996.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I know that I've heard stories of day workers being refused their payments,
mm-hmm.
and I guess how does the Day Worker Center help with that or prevent that problem?
Yeah, it's kind of very organically. Just to begin with, when employers come to the center, so they know. We have their information, so we know where the worker is going to be working, how mm-hmm. many hours, what mm-hmm. type of work, how much the worker is going to get paid for it, and they need to bring the worker back to the center. Mm-hmm. So just with that to begin with, it's very difficult just to somebody can cheat the worker. And secondly, they come in good faith. So our experience through all these 23 years, by the way, 20 of them I have been here. So it's very positive. Mm-hmm. So really, really very seldom we found somebody who really don't pay the workers for X or Y. And for the other side, so we know the workers. We are a close community. Mm-hmm. So for women or people who wants to take unknown people, exchange, right, people into their homes, it's kind of sometimes threatening experience, like you don't know really, right? You need a person, you are assuming they are going to perform the way that you need, but it's always something in the back of your mind, like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. These people can be. So then we have, even though we don't do background checks, still the people comes here by referrals, like maybe a relative, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody who really know each other, bring other people here at the center, and we know who they are. So then we have a way to tell the employer, we know this person for the last 5-10 years, and we have a very positive feedback because it's something that we do. So is in my mind, and according to our experience, this is win-win situation. Mm-hmm. So it's a big difference, mm-hmm, between mm-hmm. negotiation in the street, or Home Depot, or this type of stores, in an organization like this. For the worker side, it's just to this possibility to negotiate, like kind of with dignity, like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to charge you that amount, and employer agrees or not. So it's something really very appropriate, mm-hmm. very appropriate.
So do the employers pay the worker center, or do they pay the worker?
All the money is for the workers, and the pay needs to be full by cash at the end of the job.
Huh.
So even though they want to work tomorrow, they need to get paid today for the job that they did today. So all the money is for the workers, and we don't charge for our services. So employers don't need to pay at all for our services. One thing that is very important also is many of the workers doesn't speak English, for example, and the great majority of employers doesn't speak Spanish. So then sometimes, you know, they get lost in the translation.
And misunderstandings.
Misunderstanding. And it's kind of very important when employers call us and ask for translation, so we clarify the directions, and then it's happy in the end. So I don't want to present like a perfect world, because it doesn't exist. But I can say like 99% of the times the experience is satisfactory for both parties.
So do I hear you saying that just a typical worker off the street wouldn't be allowed to participate in the work, but they need to be referred or invited in by somebody who's already here? Am I understanding that right?
Well, everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome, but we really need to know who referred them. And also, as I said, we don't do background checks, but it's important, like, okay, who is your emergency contact in case we need to find out from the employers or the workers. So it's how everybody is welcome. And also, we have rules. So if people are not complying with the rules, they are not welcome for long, for some time. We don't allow people with alcoholic breath or under the influence. We really encourage the collaboration and instead of competition. So we came with the idea like helping each other is the best way to be successful. And it's kind of requirement here. So, as I said, I don't want to say this space or this situation is perfect, but it's getting closer.
So, who makes up the clients of the worker center?
Mostly, in this center specifically, is like a resident, local residents. And when I say local, it's Bay Area. It's not just Mountain View, Los Altos, Palo Alto, Sunnyvale, Cupertino, Saratoga, Portola. So it's all the cities that I mentioned. So, and mostly are individuals, private individuals. We have very few small contractors and very, very few companies.
I see. And I think you've said a little bit about the services that you provide. I mean, it sounds like you do provide translation services between the workers and the employers, that you help them with education and things like that. What else do you offer the clients who come here?
Well, also we have very basic services. Once a week, we have a mobile medical unit who comes to help the workers. Meantime, they are waiting for work. Twice a year, we have a dental medical unit who comes and take care of the tooth. For them, we have breakfast and lunch 5 days per week also. Besides all the trainings that I mentioned, we have yoga, we have computer classes, all these skills that people need to have in order to be more successful or more employable. And I believe beyond all of this, the most important is this sense of community. So that they know, sometimes they need, oh, Maria, could you please call my employer? Could you please call my tenant? Could you do this for me? I ask, what are you sad today? Oh, you know, my girlfriend or my boyfriend. So we have this type of a communication. We dream together, we cry together. So this is kind of a sense of belonging that is beyond all the services that we provide, that are really important, don't take me wrong. But I believe this kind of a welcoming place when people can come and see, okay, I'm belonging here. So that's very, very important. Our place, as you see, is very humble, but dysfunctional, and is ours, belong to us. So it's no mortgage, it's already total pay. And even a small, not that small. So we were able to fundraise on 2008, and we moved here in 2010. But the workers contribute financially for this building. So at some point in our history, we were doing car washing, and the workers contribute more than $10,000 to the to the building. So it's the type of organization that we are creating. We have also support when some of them has an accident or family in their countries pass. So we have a small amount of money that is from them. They they put money pitching, and also we collect recyclables, and then they cash it, and then we have a bank account, and we have a committee who decide if this person who is asking for support qualifies or not. So this is an extra thing that they can be able to get support with.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, Maria will explain to us why they have a policy of don't ask, don't tell, and why that's important to them.
And we'll say, I'm gonna sing out, I'm gonna march on, and everybody said,
I'm gonna sing out,
gonna march on,
I'm gonna march on.
If you are new to our podcast, please visit our blog at bendersoftheark.com, where you can find more information about our stories and the people behind them. Now let's return to our guest.
Well, we believe in the first and second and fourth and as many opportunities you need in order to be part of us. So we don't have the authority to ask for your past, your story, so what mistakes you made, what is your legal status, what is really your experience of life. So is why our organization is just to do the job that I described already, and that's it. So we don't need to do other type of investigation, because I believe could be overwhelming, and also we work against the mission of our organization, because people will be like a kind of wondering why they are asking me all this, right? So this type of thing. So
Now, do you receive any support or help from the city of Mountain View or any other communities?
Yes, at some point in our history, we received from some money from our capital campaign for different cities. Currently, we are receiving only money from Mountain View. And it's no big deal, big amount, and that's okay. I don't want more money, so that's okay from them, and I can explain why. And then just lately, we receive approval from one grant from the county, the county of Santa Clara. So when I said like we don't need more money or we don't want more money, it's better don't be depending on the government money just to survive. You know, politics is always a very interesting adventures, and we never know how popular we are going to be with the next. And we don't want to be playing politics with city councils or people who need to decide about our fate. So it's better just to raise our own money, be independent as much as we can, self-sufficient as much as we can. There is some project like it's going to take some time, but this is the goal.
So where do you get your funding from?
Most of them, well, last year was an amazing year. And our fiscal year, we received, I believe, like a 70% from, 70 or 80% from the private donors for individuals. It was very amazing year. Usually we receive the most, the bigger amount from foundations. So we still are applying for grants. The local foundations are being so generous. We have some of them, like has been for ages, just giving us money regularly, of course, with all the reports and all the things that we need to submit and apply and all the stuff. But pretty much is that. So our goal is just to be more, receiving more money from the individuals, because it's no, you don't need to do programs, you don't need to do a specific deliverables for the money that you are receiving. So it's better if you do it individually, because it's more convenient and give us more freedom. And at some point, the idea is just to be self-sufficient, like probably create like a business that allow us to bring some income and is the idea. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's the plan.
So I guess, have you encountered much resistance in the community to the worker center here? And was it difficult to overcome that?
Yes. We start in 96 in the Catholic rectory in downtown Mountain View. Then the center moves to Los Altos in 1997. So then just that process creates some tension with the neighbors. Then after a while, we need to move from that corner to move to the church and escuela in California, and was resistance from the neighbors. So they don't want their neighbors next to them. Then from there, we moved to downtown to the Methodist Church, and again, was a great resistance. So we need to be promising that we don't do anything wrong, and we get a conditional use permit for a while, and community forums and open houses, and always be under a scrutiny of the neighbors, because they get nervous about us. And then after that, we moved here, and was the same resistant. So even at some point, the neighbors get organized, and they brought this group named Judicial Watch. And they are very vocal and powerful, and was very intense. And I can tell you now with a smiling, right? But has never been easy just to encounter all this resistance, the ignorance, even the hostility from the neighbors. I recall one of our lovely neighbors, Sue. So she lives like in front, two doors this way. So after a while, she came and she apologized and hugged me and said, "Maria, please forgive me for being against you. You are, and not just me, this, the program is an amazing asset to the community. Thank you so much for being here." And stories like that really is make a lot of difference. And it's kind of a proof, like the workers and the program is a really nice asset to the community. And yeah.
Bye. That's great. Well, I guess I was wondering, if you or your clients have experienced any increase in harassment or conflicts with ICE since the last presidential election.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, has been more in the surface. Like they are on risk. If you are brown, you are more easy to be profiled. And even if there any kind of a government agency, so this just the, our reality. So, and with this new administration, people feels more entitled just to tell what they have in their mind, and they speak things like shouldn't be speaking or saying and loud, even feel it. But well, if you want to feel that way, it's your choice, but don't say it, because you are really hurting communities. Yeah, it's a lot of fear in my community. Kids are suffering. So we have families who really are getting through very difficult times, because first of all, this administration system or climate, but also about the housing. So we have been experiencing a lot of displacement. Many of the workers, 20%, are living in their cars or in their RVs, really close to this neighborhood. And we have been working very diligently just to avoid be displaced from them. So yeah, but it's hard. It's very hard for people currently just be able to provide for themselves and for their families.
Let's take another break. And if you are just joining us, my guest today is Maria Marroquin, the Executive Director of the Day Worker Center in Mountain View. We'll be right back. Be sure to visit our blog at bendersoftheart.com, where you can find more information about this organization and how you can become more involved. What message would do you think the workers would like to deliver to the churches?
Well, I believe that usually when we ask them, because we are very lucky to have support for different faiths, and we are really very ecumenical, and we believe in people, really, definitely. So when I ask them, so what do you need from the church, for our friends? So usually they said, pray for us. So they are very, very religious people who really believes in the power of the prayer. And also work. So like we need more work. And lately, and probably it's more from me than from them, is just be active in your community. Just speak up, use your power. I know the white supremacy and the white privilege sometimes work against the social justice, because sometimes the white saviors are just continue keeping the oppression and my culture and my people. But just trying to don't do that, and just give the power to people who need it, and just listen to them. I feel so lucky and honored when you mentioned like my contributions to the trip was good or was important. And it's important because you respect what I said. So you don't feel like you know more than I do. And that, I hope all this way to see things could be in that context. Like the workers or the people who comes to the center are the experts in their own lives. So don't look for solutions on following your perspective of what is good for them. So pray, and respect them, listen to them, and sometimes be humble enough to follow their lead. Takes time. Takes time, because this oppression that they have been feeling for years, for hundreds of years, it's not just for 20, it's not, this administration has been forever. Now it's more visible, right? But always, all the time has been like that. So just bear with us and wait for us to be better every time.
Well, I guess one other question that I have is how can people help the center and the clients?
Well, the same way, politically, be politically involved. Your representatives send letters one way or another. So even though we can be active in the community, we don't have the power of voting, many of us. and could be important if you really want to be an advocate. That's mm-hmm. that's priceless mm-hmm. if you become an advocate and bring people together. Not just an immigration, it's just an labor rights, human rights. Take care, help us to take care of our kids because I realize so the kids, our kids, is going to be your kids' friends, mm-hmm. your kids' co-workers, or your mm-hmm. grandchild co-workers. Mm-hmm. So as much as we help the kids who are in disadvantage now, is going to be better future for your kids also, your grandchildren. So to the Day Worker Center also, we are struggling with some sometimes financial situation. Sometimes we need allies in order to be a strong community, a strong organization. We are very little. So then if community of faith are behind us, it's going to be our voice is going to be stronger and more respected. And then for the workers, the same. So hire them, listen to them, love them, respect mm-hmm. them. I believe it's the best thing that you can do. Just mm-hmm. find yourself in other people's shoes. Mm-hmm. So they are having a lot of difficulties. Mm-hmm. So they are no better, no worse, but they have a lot of difficulties mm-hmm. and similarities too.
And how many clients use the center?
In any given day, we have like a 70 people coming through our door. Mm-hmm. And just lately, I have fresh in my mind the report for today because we report what happened during the month, previous month, and share with the workers. So we send 1,365 jobs during August.
In 1 month?
1 month.
1,365. Wow.
And the average per hour is $20.65. So that's a good one. Through the center and the month, the workers get $161,000 something, almost $162,000 per mm-hmm. month for this month, for August. It's a good month, mm-hmm. summer. Mm-hmm. So days come, the next season is going to be difficult, and winter is even more difficult. Mm. So in these times, if you can come and hire workers and stay, come with, you know, the church, the Presbyterian, usually have our celebrations so, mm-hmm. For the Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So this kind of a human-to-human relationship is something that could be very, very helpful for the Day Worker Center and for mm-hmm. the workers.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you can think of that churches need to know or that you'd like to share with us?
Well, this part of the accompaniment project has been very, very enlightening to me, and I cannot emphasize enough how much difference make when you take somebody hands and just take to all different process, and it's just different between the day and night. Mm-hmm. So if you or somebody who is going to be listening this program, this information, can come with some ideas and have this accompaniment project more, not just one person or one family, I know could be a big, big difference.
So are you talking about the accompaniment that a few churches are doing?
Yes.
With kind of adopting a family?
Yes.
And kind of helping them?
Yes.
So you would like to see more of that?
More of that. And it's not just, as I said, for appointments with lawyers. It's also just to, they are welcome.
Right.
Somebody cares about their kids and how they are doing.
Right.
So, you know, lately, Teresa was in the hospital for surgery, and he feels like he wasn't alone.
Right.
So, and that is priceless.
Right.
And I understand it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's time consuming, it's energy consuming, even probably it's a burden financially. But it's worth it. And my view is worth it. So if the churches can do something like that more often, I believe it could be a great, great way to help.
Yeah, and another way that showed up, I think, in my conversation with Holly and Nicholas, was them describing how challenging, how terrifying even, their interactions with officials can be. And so having somebody there to help you buffer that or help you find ways around that so you don't have to confront that yourself or alone makes a huge difference.
A lot. And let me just share with you this just last example that happened this morning. As I told you, we are working with people who live in their cars here very close to the center. So then the citation, they need to move, even though it's for sure it's no abandoned cars, because that is the idea, like you need to move your car even every 72 hours, because if not, it looks like it's abandoned. So then, even though it's very obvious it's not the case, they need to be moving their cars, because if not, it's citation, the first, it's $98 now. And then if you don't move it again, second time, it's going to be towed. So then just to pay for the towed is like a $300 plus how many days is going to be in the towed place. So, well, this person, her name is Celerina. So she worked for McDonald's. She get three citations. So, and then you need to contest in the following 21 days. So then we were exploring the possibility if she can appeal, like, okay, I don't have enough money. I have my kids. I work in McDonald's. So if I'm living here in these circumstances, it's because I don't have money to pay the rent. So how I can go about it? Well, I'm trying to help to the process. And then is, first of all, it's not easy. But well, when I get to the point, they said in online, so okay, be aware that there is some things that doesn't qualify as just contest this citation. One of them is the no ability to pay. So then, and also this is the risk, like if your reason for not paying is not valid, you are going to be punished because it's going to be fees and okay. So then I talked to her and she said, you know, Maria, forget about it. I'm going to pay and let's see what can I do later. And it's just this type of the system, just how to prevail the nonsense. So, and how, in some point, they are fearful, they have been abused, but they have no way to defend their rights, because it's no way. So it's how it works. And just to prove your theory about just to be a buffer between all these nonsense things, because if you are white, you have a better chance. So we can use that.
Right. That's one of the other things that came up in the conversation with Holly and Nicholas was how much we can use our white privilege to support those who are struggling with this and the racist system that is set up to work against them. So,
Yep. So that's important that you already know. I know you are a nice people, really well-intentioned. And thank God we have people like that too, just to compensate all the problems, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Maria. This has been wonderful. It's always such a delight to talk with you and learn from you. and to hear more about the Worker Center and the wonderful work you're doing here. So thank you for meeting with me.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. Okay. Hope to continue our work together.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Benders of the Ark podcast. As I said at the beginning, people like Maria and the Day Worker Center are on the front lines of resisting xenophobia and racism. If you would like to support the work of the Day Worker Center, then please visit our blog at bendersoftheark.com, where you will find another link to donate to this important work. You too can become a Bender of the Ark by connecting with nonprofits and faith communities that are working to build connection and community all around us. Until next time, this is Jeff Browning, celebrating all those who are working to bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice and peace. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Benders of the Ark, exploring social justice and social change with those who are daring to do the hard work to bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Thank you also to the Presbytery of San Jose for daring to become a sanctuary presbytery and assisting in the production of the Benders of the Ark podcast. Thank you also to Colette and Doug Liner for their technical assistance. Our music is a splendid creation of Joshua Campbell titled Sing Out, March On. So until next time, keep bending the arc of the moral universe toward justice for all God's people.